back on Ruthless Aggression. Pierce, Rob, and Chris. It is early November. You know what that means. We are a couple of weeks away from the Survivor Series. Vancouver, British Columbia. They're doing a lot of shows north of the border. They'll be back in February, or sorry, March for Elimination Chamber. They'll be in Toronto at the Rogers Center. Holy shit, that's huge. But
yeah, that's crazy.
That's for futures. We're here to talk about the here and now. So we'll get into the supposed, they haven't officially announced it, but they like announced it. Main event for Survivor Series. And we'll kind of go back and do some 2008. How about that? So yes, we are so back. We are so back. We have never been more back. My partner is in Denver, and she had FaceTimed me immediately when Sammy had kicked Solo in the head, and we just stood there watching the rest of SmackDown on FaceTime, throwing up the ones. It was incredible. The bloodline, the OG bloodline, is back together. However you want to quantify back together. I mean, Roman, Sammy, yeah, the Usos. And it seems like they will be challenging the new bloodline, Jacob, Solo, Tama, Tongaloa, in War Games in Vancouver. Should be fucking fun. Can't wait. We're here.
Yeah. You know, I think everything was really well done. Everyone was, and I think we're still waiting on the apology from Roman to Jay.
Yes.
It seemed like he was going to do it, but then he was like, you know, blah, 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 wasting my time, all that other stuff that I expected that. And honestly, the way that everything's set up, Sammy's such a good actor, because the way that they positioned that, maybe it's because I was, you know, delusional, because I didn't know what I didn't honestly expect them to do this. I thought that they were going to draw from 1996 Sting there with Sammy in terms of him being trusted and not being trusted. But then he obviously kicked Solo and they reformed everything and they did all that fun stuff. So that was really good. I think, you know, it's interesting only because Solo said it was 5-on-5 and then it was suddenly turned into 4-on-4, which obviously fell right into place. But does that mean that it is going to be 5-on-5? That's the only thing that I'm going to be watching going forward. And I say that only because of my theory for the women right now, but I'd be fine with either, I think. Just depends on who they would put on new bloodline, but I'm going to be interested to see if it's going to be 4-on-4 or if it is going to indeed be 5-on-5.
Yeah, it seems like 4-on-4 would make a lot of sense. I think Cody might just not wrestle at that show, and it'll make the Saturday's main event match against Kevin Owens kind of.
He's not announced. No, he puts out his, you know, where I'm going to be at every month, and Vancouver Survivor Series was absent from that list, which gives off the impression, hey, I'm not going to be here. Don't expect me.
Very
here.
Interesting. Okay.
He's due, you know, an event off, and especially if we feel like he's going to be having a pivotal role in Saturday Night's main event, which will be coming up a few weeks after that.
Yes.
You know, you don't really need to run him and KO or him and anybody here. Was he even on this? Yeah. No, he was. He was subtly on this past week's SmackDown.
Yeah, he was subtly on this week's SmackDown. Yeah.
He was in the ambulance with Orton.
Yeah.
So like that's the next, you know, logical step is to bring that back to KO and Cody, which I think I called. I think I may have called.
I believe you did. Yeah. And I will say, if that is the case, totally fine with me. I was going to be fine with the idea of Cody potentially being in War Games with the bloodline or whatever. It would be some kind of cool spectacle. But honestly, you can't get a fifth that isn't Dwayne, and that doesn't make sense. So I don't think we need to factor that in at all. Just keep it tight. That's fine. Have it be, because, you know, then they've made it a thing with the women. Have it be, you know, that's where Roman and Jay finally apologize and come together, and then they take them down and whatnot. That's what I think that should happen, but or how I see it happening. But yeah, it's fascinating, really. And I think it's, I say that because, like, they keep finding ways. Like, you think over the past few months, if you've been fatigued by it, I don't blame you. I've felt that way a little bit. I needed to step away. But you know, they just keep finding ways to make this so compelling. It just keeps showing everybody's range, everybody's value, what everybody brings to the table. Because, you know, this is also going to definitely factor in probably with Sammy and KO at some point, because this is probably going to feel like betrayal. And we've seen that before. And it'll be interesting to see how it happens again. And really, I think it again shows Sammy and KO just have such an immense value that by just being who they are and just telling the same story between each other for however long they've done it now. It's crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about that. It's crazy to think about Usos. They nearly left after WrestleMania, before or after WrestleMania 35. If they were, if they did, and they went to AEW, they wrestled the Young Bucks a few times or whatever, that would have been neat. Wouldn't have had any of this.
Yeah.
It's insane to think about.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, Stone Cold's rise, where you can kind of point to moments that, you know, shouldn't have happened and did happen, because, you know, Jimmy Uso got hurt in the WrestleMania ladder match in the warehouse where, you know, and that kind of led to Jay not having anything to do. So that's that was part of it, too. So it's kind of crazy.
It is. It's very crazy. And, you know, I'm already looking past Survivor Series. I think the fun of this match is going to happen. I've already sold it that the winners are going to be the OG Bloodline, because New Bloodline won this one, and then eventually we'll get Roman Solo, possibly Saturday Night's main event. I don't think there's a December pay-per-view, right? So the special event is Saturday Night's main event, and then you'll get the Rumble, and then you start loading up for the Rumble. And I keep just trying to figure out, like, who's Cody's opponent at the Rumble. It's really not clear where they're going with Cody. And we've heard the rumors of, like, oh, they love his reign right now. They look at his reign as a Cena-like reign, which could go on for a minute. Which, quick plug, did a podcast with the post-wrestling Poison Rana boys about the third reign of John Cena, which we just went over more recently. Go check that out. So for Cody, you know, once you get past the KO stuff, who is his next logical opponent? And for me, it just all comes back to Roman. I don't see where you don't do Cody Roman 3 in Vegas. Am I wrong for that?
No,
I can see it. I don't. It's so tough. I could see Cody Randy. I could see Cody Rock. I could see Roman Rock. There's a lot of possibilities. The trilogy, and for the record, this is just my opinion, aside from everything else, if they're going to do another Roman Cody match, it has to happen at WrestleMania, no questions asked. I don't care. If they don't do it, that's fine, because it wouldn't have happened at WrestleMania. Don't do it anywhere else, because that's a WrestleMania.
You don't like the
anthology,
the Survivor Series thought of, not Survivor Series. Sorry, so the I do this all the fucking time.
The Summer Saudi Slam, Arabia thought,
or SummerSlam.
Oh, SummerSlam. I don't. Well, that would mean that one of them would have to win King of the Ring, which. No.
Well, I guess not necessarily, because there's only one.
Yeah, King I guess of the that, ring that's true. Titles. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. That would be tough.
Because SummerSlam next year, did they announce that? Is that London?
It's in East Rutherford. Yeah.
Yeah, that could sell out. That could sell out MetLife. I feel like you got to do a big show for New York SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's.
I know it's not as sexy as doing it at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But if you do the Rock match at WrestleMania for either one of them, then you run Cody Roman. That's we got a new title coming to
the
Federation. We have been asking, we have been pleading, and we finally have a mid-card women's title. The women's US championship was introduced by Nick Aldis this past Friday, which everyone pointed out the very poor timing of announcing a mid-card U.S. Women's Championship on this week specifically, for reasons you can think about. This is great. The question now turns to, do you do the same for Raw, or is it going to be a dual-branded or tri-branded championship? You know, they kind of did a test run with the Women's North American title And, you know, credit to them with Kalani Jordan. And I don't even remember the girl's name who has it. Fallon Henley has it now. I was thinking it was one of the other two girls. They all look fucking same to me. They're very indistinguishable. They've done a good job of incorporating that championship onto the show and then showing like, hey, this isn't going to take away from the bigger strap or, you know, anything else, which technically AEW started that. But AEW kind of did in reverse and they started getting the big girls the main championship and the up and comers.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're giving the big girls the TBS title and the up and comers the world championship.
Yeah, that
interesting call there. But this is good for the Federation. There's a lot of girls that, you know, you could throw off the top of your head, Meechan, Chelsea, Natalya, a lot of girls that can go and get that strap and you know, it's now you told the weird line of like, are you making the title or is the title making somebody? But it's a mid-card title, so it could be, you know, both, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think on the whole, this is all very good for everybody involved. I thought every time that someone brought it up that it was too early or that they didn't have enough horses. Whether they do or they don't, in my opinion, isn't what's important here. I'm looking at a different perspective when it comes to this title and why I think it's going to be really important for everything going forward and why it'll be beneficial for everybody. First off, I don't know who's going to win this title first, but what I will say is that to do something like this at first, you need to give it to somebody who's over and that the crowd cares about. I don't think at first you can give it to somebody who is, you know, in that pecking order who has earned a run at having 15 pounds of gold on their shoulder, but you have to do the work first. So you have to give it to a veteran. I would say off the top of my head, I think Bayley fits the bill. I think a returning Asuka, when she gets healthy, she's going to be in the mix at first too, I would imagine. Dakota Kai is definitely going to be a perennial contender there too when she gets healthy. Alexa is also another good possibility at first. EO, depending on what happens with the world title scene there. These are all people that they can give to at first to make that title mean something. There's over acts like Meechan and Chelsea who could certainly benefit from a run. And I don't think that they're not going to get it. I think that when you think about this, it's like what happened with, you know, LA Knight and what's happened with, you know, other people who've gotten hot that, you know, they need to temper a little bit at first. What I think about this title is the benefit it's going to do for the entire division, because we're finally going to get some hierarchies. The biggest problem that everybody has complained about and why everybody has had such a weird mentality towards everything in the division is that it always seems like it's title or bust, and that for a long time they presented it as such. If you weren't fighting for the title, you were doing literally nothing. And it was like that for a really long time. And it helped in the fact that the titles were made and they were significant. They were won by the most important people on the roster who helped give it significance, helped push everything forward and ahead. That work is all done now. Now, with this title, you can kind of separate the people who are up in the main event scene to the people who need to get that climb in that mid-card and get into that upper mid-card and go up the ladder and make it known now who you're having elevated, because the title can be whatever you want it to be. It can also be a device to show who's next, just like the Money in the Bank briefcases. And if you do that, if you have this title defended more, then the world titles can mean even more as you pull them away, if you decide to adopt those philosophies that you have for the men, where they rarely defend the titles or where they're not always defending it every show, every month or whatever. It's going to help everybody. I have no complaints about this. I'm fascinated to just see what the rollout's going to be, and if we're done here, or if they're going to give Raw an Intercontinental title since both shows are going to be 3 hours starting in January.
Might as well.
Literally, you might as well. I wouldn't have a problem.
Or have one division or one show be the mid card division, and the other show be the tag division.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like it feels like right now, potentially that show could be Raw. Yes. Obviously, like you might have to switch Candace and
yeah, you might have to move a couple bodies.
Yeah, you might have to move a couple folks, you know.
But also, and also, I think what you could do is you could replenish the field with people from NXT who, frankly, I think could give everybody a much needed jolt.
Oh yeah,
not even just the main people either. Just like people like Tatum Paxley or like, I mean, I would. This is going to make me sound crazy. I would maybe consider giving Ariana Grace a shot. She's funny as hell. She knows what she's doing on TV.
That ain't a shock at all. Like she can kind of, she could be on a show opposite of Chelsea. So they're not kind of running into each other and then still doing the same shtick. And guess what? She could easily be transitioned onto the main show because all you have to do is call someone up for a little bit of an appearance.
Yeah,
you know the crowd's gonna enjoy it, and guess what? It'll be a great introduction to her. Is all I'm saying.
It would be. So,
Oh, I know the perfect place to do it. Fun transition.
They're going to Milan
because WWE is announced an incredible 2-week tour of the UK. Now, usually they do this after WrestleMania, but because WrestleMania is in mid-April, when they usually do the tour, they're gonna do it in March. And I don't think I've ever seen them. Well, one, they've never done like a 2-week tour. I feel like most of their tours have been like 1 week, 10 days, whatever. So they're doing a whole 2-week tour of Europe and they're taping 3 SmackDowns, 2 Raws, if I'm correct about that. That is wild. That is wild.
It is.
The amount
of shit that you're about to get. The number of like European TV tapings just from that tour alone is probably going to double from where they've been, you know, outside of London at least. Like, because they've had a couple shows in Germany, they've had a couple shows in, you know, Italy, and that's about it, you know. So,
they did a SmackDown in Glasgow in 2016.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember that. That's about as obscure as they've gotten.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but again, like, outside of the UK, they did the SmackDown for Bash of Berlin, and then obviously the Raw where Santino debuted, and they did a Raw in Germany in the Attitude Era, and that's
1997. Yeah,
they did the one crazy in Tokyo a couple years ago. So I'm just gonna lightly run through it. They're doing SmackDown Friday the 14th in Barcelona. Then they hit up Germany. I don't think they're doing a live show in Germany. They'll do Belgium on that following Monday. And I think they're off chilling until they do Bologna, Italy the next Friday. Going back over to the UK for a tour of Ireland, back in England, Scotland gets a Raw, and then London gets both a SmackDown and a Raw. This is insane. So folks in the UK, if you were sad about not getting WrestleMania, don't be. This is a really solid, you know, make good for that. So kudos to them. I think it's fun that they're going and doing, you know, these, obviously they've been doing the bigger shows in other countries, but now normalizing that, hey, you're going to see Raw in the UK. You know, if you're a fan in Spain that doesn't want to stay up until 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to watch, you know, your WWE, here it is live. And then, hey, guess what? Because I think they're on Netflix internationally, like for everything. You know, it's going to stream live. And I love that the Raws potentially here, we can watch them live because there's no restriction of, oh man, we got to wait until 8 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. No, just stream it live on Raw. I'm sure maybe you could do the same with Peacock and USA. I don't know how the logistics of that would work. But
I would like them to. I mean, you know, like you might as well, for a couple special cases, I think you could use Peacock for that. Just tape delay it only on Peacock and then just air it in the regular time slot. Like, I think it'd be fine.
It would be. I don't think there's much. I'm just going to kind of rattle through a couple of things. Rhea's missing for a little bit. She'll be out, but rumors are she's going to have a real pivotal role in WrestleMania. So hopefully, you know, what's going on with her eye will be corrected and it'll be fixed and it'll be fine. Goldberg is infringing on John Cena's property. He has announced that he will have a retirement match in 2025. I guess the obvious opponent is going to be Gunther. It's just a matter of where.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see with that.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. There were a couple of releases last week that, I mean, they weren't really surprising. But, yeah,
he's gone after 15-something years. Indy Hartwell was let go, and we immediately saw Candice LeRae. We immediately saw Candice LeRae get inserted into a storyline. Seems like, there might be a little bit of replacement as far as who is Nia Jax's right-hand woman.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I guess interesting is the wrong word. It's clear Candice is getting some favor and a push. I think it's clear, considering that Indy didn't make it, that maybe it was a last-ditch effort for both, and one right now is just succeeding in their eyes more than the other. I think it's been a tough road for – it was a tough road for Indy. I think she figured out how to be a really good TV character right away. In ring, I don't think it ever really came together, but – she's still really young.
Right.
She's still got plenty of opportunity and plenty of promise ahead of her. So I wouldn't rule out a comeback for her in the future. She's obviously well-liked by pretty much everybody on the roster. I don't think she has a single person against her. So I'm sure that if the time comes and the situation's right, that she might even be back. So who knows?
And they kind of already started to prep for the DIY. Breakup. Ciampa's doing all the work. Johnny Gargano's
looking
like a doofus.
I think they're turning heel. I think the Profits are turning heel also. I think that's a that's a byproduct of MCMG being there, being faces. They need to do some pivoting. Ciampa won that match against Pretty Deadly by himself. That was hilarious.
Another thing is, like, you got a lot of tag teams, and like certain folks are gonna be shuffled. Either going to be shuffled down the card a bit or going to have to move to Raw. Like, Bree Deadly tag team. You know, I don't want to see them as the, fourth best heel tag team on Raw.
I don't either. They're tough, obviously, because one was out, one was away also. So they haven't been on the same page, basically, for, like, a couple months now. But, I think that's just the natural result of pivoting. I think next week, when the Profits inevitably fail to beat MCMG, they're probably going to turn. Naomi's facing Nia for the title. I presume Nia is going to retain. I wonder how that match is going to finish, because the way that they are setting things up right now, I need to see what happens on Raw. I'm wondering if they're going to converge with a lot of people for War Games for the women, not just on one brand either. I think it's entirely possible that Liv and Raquel might find their way in there, especially if Rhea is absent, because that kind of takes away, a lot of possibilities there. You need to keep them going. You need to keep their momentum going. I found it interesting. Tiff mentioned them directly when talking to Candice the other night. And then with Nia there, the math is the math. That's five. On the other side, Bianca, Jade, Bayley, and Naomi have basically been fighting the same enemy for the last, 6 months. And, well, interestingly enough, the new number one contender on Raw is Io, who hasn't missed a War Games match in years and would be an interesting factor on a babyface team where Bianca might not trust them. Bayley and Io might not trust each other, and that might lead to the villains thinking they have the edge. I'm just pointing things out as they are. Yep. I just thought I would mention that.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Rather, rather interesting. Okay, we can go back to 2008 now.
And just a quick point, if I may interject real quick. I just want to point out the men's War Games is also dual branded, so the women can be dual branded too.
Yes, it is. So
yes,
a very good point. I honestly did not think about it until you started to drop it, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't really see a women's War Games match.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where it's like, it's either this or I don't think it's happened.
Right.
Which is what it is to me.
Which would be totally fine, because
the
main event is going to have so much magnitude to it.
Exactly.
If you don't do a women's one, I'm not going to hold you. But if you are going to do it, it's going to be a hodgepodge of the girls from Raw and SmackDown, and you really start to plant the seeds for it. So
yeah,
no, that's a good thought. Yeah.
Let's go to 2008.
Okay, so starting October here with Fang, Top five songs, up to number five, Paper Plane, staying at four, Disturbia, staying at three, Love Lockdown, staying at two, So What, staying at number one, Whatever You Like. Top five movies, number five is Appaloosa, number four is Knights and Rodents, debuting at number three, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, down to number two is Eagle Eye, debuting at number one is Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Around the NFL real quick, the Chicago Bears picked up a 34-7 victory over the Detroit Lions to move the Lions to 0-4. Bears improved to 3-2. Charles Tillman had a pick six in this game.
I remember that Falcons-Packers game.
Yes, the Falcons beat the Packers 27-24.
Yeah, that was a wild one. That was one of Matt Ryan's first big road wins. We faced a Packers team that went 6-10, but that was Rodgers' first year starting. He went crazy in his first season. It wasn't exactly his fault that they went 6-10 that year. I remember that game vividly. Yeah. Ryan
got a lot of and then on his
resume. He does.
Oh yeah.
He does.
And then up against Monday Night Raw, the Minnesota Vikings picked up a win against the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome 30-27 with a Ryan Longwell field goal with 13 seconds to go.
That game would be much more significant like 15 months later.
Yeah. Also, Reggie Bush had two punt return touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, well, there you go. Also, Sunday Night Football was Steelers-Jags.
Yeah.
Which I guess in 2008 was a pretty decent match.
Yeah, it was a rematch of the wild card game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty funny. All right. We go to Raw from Seattle, Washington. Rare trip out west. Chris Jericho began the show, still as world heavyweight champion, but he looked like shit.
He did. He got beat up pretty bad.
Yeah. General manager Mike Adamley is not there tonight, so Jericho is in charge. We'll see how that goes for him. The guy who revolutionized the ladder match lost last night, but he kept a promise. He disfigured Chris Jericho, who has a messed up tooth now, in addition to his messed up looking face. He also did what he said he was going to do, beat, brutalized, destroyed, and embarrassed Shawn Michaels in a match that he revolutionized. He's done with Shawn, but tonight Shawn will wrestle Lance Cade in a no disqualification match. Jericho doesn't have anything left to prove to anyone. He's the real and true world champion. Batista came out and congratulated him and then spinebustered him. During the break, Jericho said Batista and JBL will wrestle in a number one contenders match tonight, and Jericho was three. Okay. I feel like this is very familiar. Santino and Beth Phoenix defeated the team of, well, Mickie James and Rob. Who did they face?
D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo Brown. That's right. Yeah. No, D'Lo Brown. That's right. I missed it. I missed it in my notes. My apologies. Before the match, he said Santino was saying he was trying to make an effort to become more American. So he has a new favorite NBA team now. Naturally, because they're in Seattle, he wears an Oklahoma City Thunder shirt. They've been doing that joke for a very long time. Not quite as resonated as the KO one with Elias. This one was good. Shawn Michaels was with Todd Grisham. He's going to show Cade and Jericho he's still got plenty left in him. Ted Jr. defeated Kofi Kingston. Jericho tried to get Orton to take out Batista. And Randy seemed like he'll think about it. A tag team match. Kane and Mark Henry defeated Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy. This is the Raw ECW talent exchange. Woo. Oh, Lance Cade put Shawn Michaels to the announce table. Michaels recovered and beat the living crap out of him with a chair and got the win. Fans could pick Santino's opponent at Cyber Sunday. Roddy Piper, Goldust, or the Honky Tonk Man. Okay. Kelly Kelly defeated Jillian Hall. And despite help from Chris Jericho, Batista defeated JBL. Regal and Orton also attempted to help. Mike Adamley sent a real referee to count out the finish and said at Cyber Sunday there will be another special referee match between Jericho and Batista. Choices are Orton, Michaels, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is back for his annual October trip to the WWE.
Yeah, well, you know, they want people to vote for him, and it's pretty easy to get them to vote when he's on there, so...
Yep.
All right, ECW from Spokane. Biff Finlay and Tommy Dreamer defeated Mike Knox and Jack Swagger, who had a big week online this week. Mark Henry defeated Jamie Noble with four World's Strongest Slams. In the main event, Miz, Morrison, Cody, and Ted DiBiase defeated CM Punk, Kofi Kingston, Evan Bourne, and Ricky Ortiz when Manu distracted Punk for the finish. SmackDown. Vicky and Chavo were here to start the show. 2 weeks ago, Vicky was not in a wheelchair or a neck brace. But then she was attacked by The Undertaker. And now they don't have to worry anymore, though, because Big Show's going to keep them safe from danger. No one will ever get up from Big Show's KO punch, he said. Tonight he's coming for Triple H, but first Vlad Kozlov comes out. He also wants a shot at Triple H. Big Show says no because he's a giant and an American, which, I mean, that doesn't really, you know. And then they just go to commercial. The commercial breaks in the My Network TV SmackDowns are very strange because they're very abrupt. But that was the end of the segment, so I guess Jericho and Big Show and Kozlov will wrestle at some point. Brie Bella picks up a victory against Natalya. Then there's a video about John Cena and his recovery, and he's coming along, so he'll be back at some point. Funaki and R-Truth have a segment together where Truth calls him Kung Funaki, and that's going to be his new gimmick soon.
Brother.
Yeah. Truth picks up a non-title victory against Shelton Benjamin. Jeff Hardy defeats MVP in a pretty good match. They have another new gimmick coming, Kazarni. His thing is he works at a carnival and talks like an asshole.
Sucks.
Jesse, Festus, Carlito, and Epico defeat Ryder Hawkins, Kenny Dykstra, and Ryan Braddock. In the main event, Big Show and Triple H are set to face off and having an okay match. Then Undertaker comes out and attacks Big Show, and Kozlov attacks Triple H and ends up just being a no contest. Whatever.
I'm glad we did all that. Anyways, to recap, the MLB postseason began this month. It actually began on the 1st of October. Kind of wild.
Yeah, well.
I understand. So we had the playoff bracket in the American League. The Yankees missed the playoffs for the first time since 1990. Jesus. Actually, since basically the strike. They made the playoffs from 95 through 2007.
Incredible.
So we were out. So the top seed were the Angels, who I believe
they're the only team I think that won 100 games that year.
Yeah, and I believe they had Mark Teixeira. I believe they got Mark Teixeira in a trade.
They did.
They faced Boston, and then in the other series, the Rays faced the White Sox.
Wait, so
and the National.
Wait. Did we skip over the blackout game?
Yeah, we got to talk about White Sox Twins.
Yeah.
Blackout game. As a Cubs
fan, let's talk about the blackout game.
I'm very apprehensive to give White Sox any fucking credit, but that blackout game is one of the top five coolest sports moments I've ever seen.
Yeah.
To see that entire stadium just blacked out. It was a fan fucking tastic game. The Griffey catch in center. Do you remember Ken Griffey was a White Sock?
Yeah, he had the outfield assist.
Yeah, number 17. How crazy. Ken Griffey Jr. on the White Sox making an incredible catch in center. The only run of the game, the Jim Thome homer, the dead center that just sent that place into oblivion. It's a play at the plate, right? Brian Anderson made a throw at the plate, I want to say. Somebody made a throw at the plate to catch a twin. That was just like if you love baseball, Cub or Sox, that's a great fucking game. It really was. They did another win or go home for the Central the year after that. That was equally as epic. With the Twins and the Tigers that we'll talk about eventually, but that was a great game.
Agree. And then in the National League, obviously, we had the Cubs play the Dodgers and the Phillies play the Brewers, who were led by a ridiculous run from CeCe Sabathia after the Brewers acquired him from Cleveland.
He was pitching on like 3 days rest the entire month of September. It was just like he went 11-2 with a 1.65 ERA in 130 innings for them. And again, they got him in like the middle of July, so they got a full season out of him pretty much.
And that's
with how they used him. And
that was also the same trade deadline that produced Manny Ramirez to the Dodgers. So that was one for the books.
It was real quick. I had flipped up the White Sox moments. It was Ken Griffey Jr. making a throw home to
Nathan Quinn
and Brian Anderson's catch that ended the game.
Yes, there it is.
The diving catch. Are we talking about these series individually, or are we just like skimming through?
Oh no, we're gonna breeze through here because actually we're lined up with the start of the ALCS now. The Red Sox took care of the Angels 3-1. For a while, the Red Sox had owned the Angels in the postseason. This was another run in that. The Angels have also been on a 9-game postseason skid dating back to the 2005 ALCS. And it also ended there when they won in game three, the Angels did over the Red Sox. It dated an 11-game postseason losing streak to the Red Sox. So they had owned them for a long time. And that's good subtext for 2009. The Rays beat the White Sox in four, primarily thanks to BJ Upton going nuclear. That was what I mostly remember from that series. And then obviously, I'll go through this one quick. The Cubs were swept by the Dodgers in three. It was the first postseason meeting between the Cubs and the Dodgers. The Dodgers won to go to the NLCS for the first time since 1988. And the Phillies won in four over the Brewers. Their run just kind of ended. Nothing they could really do. So now we begin the ALCS and the NLCS. The NLCS began earlier this week. The Phillies went up 2-0 on the Dodgers. And by the time October 10th rolled around, the Red Sox won their first game against the Rays 2-0. But on October 11th, the Rays won in 11 innings, 9-8, over the Red Sox to tie it at one apiece. In college football, 21st-ranked Wake Forest beat Clemson 12-7 on Thursday Night Football. And let's see here. Arkansas beat 20th-ranked Auburn 25-22. Ranked Ball State, 25th-ranked Ball State, picked up a victory. 15th-ranked Boise State also picked up a victory. So did 9th-ranked BYU. In a matchup between 4th-ranked LSU and 11th-ranked Florida, the Gators won 51-21. They are on their way to a national championship season in Gainesville, if you may remember. Georgia bounced back from getting blown out by Alabama in their blackout game. They won 26-14. Let's see. Do we have anything else? 13th-ranked Vanderbilt lost 17-14 to Mississippi State. Sounds about right. 3rd-ranked Mizzou fell to 17th-ranked Oklahoma State, 28-23. Let's see if there's any familiar faces who picked up touchdowns in this game. Zach Robinson had picked up a touchdown run and a few touchdown passes to Damian Davis. Got a Denario Alexander touchdown. We've got a Kendall Hunter touchdown. Got a few names that I remember from Big 12 days. And Texas beat Oklahoma 45-35 in the Red River rivalry. 5th-ranked Texas beat top-ranked Oklahoma. So the rankings are going to get a reshuffle, just like they did in real life. Also, pathetically, Michigan lost to Toledo at the Big House 13-10. It's real bad in Ann Arbor. You think it's real bad now? Trust me, it was much worse then. You're not losing to MAC teams at home.
That's true. That's true. All right, on to our next week here. Top five songs, up to number five, Let It Rock by Kevin Rudolph featuring Lil Wayne, which was everywhere for
the
about
future
the next decade.
WrestleMania theme.
Was that a WrestleMania theme a whole year and a half later?
No, that was the Royal Rumble theme for 2009. I'm 26.
Disturbia by Rihanna sang at four, So What down to two, or down to three, whatever you like down to two, because Live Your Life by T.I. featuring Rihanna debuted at number one.
T.I. song. See, this is why I just stopped really giving a shit about T.I. because, like, everyone loves T.I. and I'm like, these T.I. songs are whack. See, what T.I. is doing in 2008, folks, pay attention to Young Thug in the next year. That's all I'm saying.
Top five movies, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist down to five, Eagle Eye is down to four, Body of Lies debuts at three, Quarantine debuts at two, and Beverly Hills Chihuahua stays at number one.
How the fuck?
Just a couple week six NFL notes. The Chicago Bears lost 22-20 to the Atlanta Falcons because they led a touchdown drive down the field, scored with 11 seconds left, squibbed it, and let the Falcons get a gain and a field goal.
Dumb. Fucking dumb. I said it the second they stripped that shit. I'm like, oh, that's fucking dumb. One fucking throw. That's one of the top five. I can't fucking believe you lost that game losses. So much so, it's been 16 years, and I'm still fucking pissed at that loss. That loss cost them a playoff berth.
Yep.
Anyway.
Elsewhere, the Minnesota Vikings defeated the Detroit Lions 12-10, which is important because the only reason that it was a 2-point difference was because Dan Orlovsky ran out the back of the end zone.
God, now we're stuck with him for the rest of our lives because of that one fucking
blur. Let's see. Elsewhere, looks like Peyton Manning had 3 touchdowns and a 31-3 win over the Ravens. Andre Johnson had 10 receptions for 178 yards and a 29-28 win over Miami. Up against Raw on Monday Night Football, the Cleveland Browns pulled away with a 35-14 win over the New York Giants.
That was the Giants looked so good at the start of that season after they won the Super Bowl, and they got that one loss to Cleveland where they were just world beaters that one night. The Giants kept winning. It was crazy. Yeah. No one, I didn't understand it at the time. It was nuts. Yeah. I remember that whole thing.
I remember that whole thing. All right, 2 quick wrestling notes before we get into the week. Dolph Ziggler was suspended 30 days for violating the wellness policy. Mm-hmm. And October 14th, Lance Cade was released following an incident in which he had a seizure while on a plane, which there were some drugs involved and such. It's pretty sad. I mean, looking back, since, you know, it's going to basically be it for him. But
yeah.
Yeah. All right. On to Raw.
Yes. On to Raw. We are in Anaheim down at the old Arrowhead Pond. Chris Jericho and Batista are doing Pick Your Poison. It was one of those few tropes that I wish they would do again.
Yeah.
But that would imply that they would have to have rivalries and people would have to not be mad about stupid stuff like that or whatever.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho's here and he has a message for Shane and Stephanie McMahon. Every choice for the special referee is flawed. Randy has it out for Chris, as does Shawn Michaels, and nobody trusts Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he's asking Stephanie and Shane to remove the stipulation ASAP. Shawn Michaels came out instead. Wasn't going to beg for votes. Instead, he attacked Jericho and they brawled before Jericho escaped and headed for the back. But as he retreated, Jericho told Shawn that he's Batista's opponent tonight. Kane and Mark Henry defeat Rey Mysterio, Mark, and Matt Hardy again. Johnny Knoxville was in the crowd. And in 14 years, he's going to have one of the best matches at WrestleMania.
He will.
JBL cut a promo about the stock market and real Americans. And then Hulk Hogan's theme played. We got Haas Hogan, which is a very big upgrade in my opinion. He lost JBL immediately.
Yes.
Todd Grisham interviewed Johnny Knoxville and the Jackass guys who've been making fun of the Great Khali. They said it wasn't them, despite video proof that it was, which is funny. There's another John Cena update video. Then Randy Orton came out and said that no one wished him well when he was hurt, which he still is. So please do not vote for him at Cyber Sunday so he doesn't get more hurt. Jericho announced that Batista and Shawn Michaels is a lumberjack match. Neither throw the other to the outside, so eventually they swarmed in and attacked, but it's a no contest. But they fought back everybody and fended them all off. Pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Santino and Beth are here, and they invite Johnny Knoxville in the ring. After back and forth, Beth body slammed him, and Hornswoggle tadpole splashed him before Khali came out and chokeslammed him. Okay. In a 6-person tag, Primetime and Kelly defeated The Miz, Morrison, and Jillian Hall. And then Batista picked CM Punk to face Jericho and named himself the special referee, so he helped Punk get the win. Pretty funny.
Fair enough. All right. ECW, October 14th from Vegas. Teddy Long figures that they also need a Cyber Sunday match. So tonight there's going to be qualifying matches, and the winners will be on the ballot to face Mark Henry for the title. Matt Hardy, not Mark Henry. So it's going to be Mark Henry is going to be one of the guys, and the other two on the ballot will be Evan Bourne, who defeated Chavo Guerrero, and Finlay, who defeated Morrison. So you can vote for Mark Henry, Evan Bourne, or Finlay against Matt Hardy at Cyber Sunday. That was ECW. SmackDown, also in Vegas. Big Show and Chavo are here to start the show. Big Show's mad at Undertaker for interfering in his match last week and costing him the title. Told Undertaker to be careful what he wishes for, because Big Show just might give it to him. They're having a match at Cyber Sunday, and the options are Last Man Standing, I Quit, or a knockout match. And then Show is going to demonstrate which each of these matches are. So he brings in a guy for a knockout match. Turns out that guy was Joey Ryan, and Show knocked him out. So that was good.
That's great. That's
okay. Thank you for your service.
Appreciate you.
He had an I Quit match against a fellow named Ryan Taylor. Don't know who that is. And then Big Show's Last Man Standing match was against a fellow named Matt Jackson. So, you know?
Got a 2-for-1 in one match. Where the fuck was Nick?
Great point.
Yeah, it could have been a handicap match. Could have beat Nick through.
Primo and Carlito defeat Ryder and Hawkins to retain the tag titles. MVP says he needs one more victory and his contract incentives kick in. So he goes out and tries to get one more victory, and then he loses to Truth. Fair enough. Kung Fu Naki is here. He's Kung Fu Naki now. It's the whole thing. It's whatever. I mean, Another vignette for Kazarni, who will be here soon. Ezekiel Jackson defeats Super Crazy, who still works there somehow. Undertaker and Great Khali are in action, and Big Show comes out and causes a disqualification. Then Big Show tried to get Khali to help him attack Undertaker, but Khali doesn't want to do that. He doesn't answer to anybody. So he left, and then Undertaker sat up and hit Big Show with a chair. Then we get a Divas Las Vegas match where Maria throws Maryse down and is able to climb up and get the fuzzy dice off the pole to get the victory. So she beat Maryse, Natalia, Victoria, and Brie. What a match. Yeah. Jesse and Festus defeated Ryan Braddock and Kenny Dykstra. And then in the main event, Vladimir Kozlov picked up a win over Jeff Hardy. And then a stare down with Triple H in the middle of the ring to end the show. That was SmackDown. Next week is Cyber Sunday.
Yep, and we'll get to all of the fun that was the very final Cyber Sunday, thank God. I'm at Cameron Santo on X, Rob's at RobinNeil31, Chris is at Chris M. Novak, at Barber's Chair Net on X and Instagram, Facebook.com/Barber's Chair Digital. There'll be a new Saturday Night at the Hallis. We're taping right before the Bears game. If you are listening to this now, I'm either breathing very nicely or my brains have been blown out. Which one, we don't know. But Scott and Joe will have your recap on Saturday Night in Hallis. King's Landing will have a recap of Falcons Saints for everyone that loves murder in New Orleans. Because when those two fan bases get together, that's what you always get. I don't know what else to do. I'm running out of time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I'm Pierce. We'll see you guys later.